I am Pastor Bonta. Full name is Pastor Bonta Karunakar Thyagaraj. So okay. People call me just Pastor Bonta. I am Sam's dad, and I'm happy to see him play drums here in the praise and worship. I came all the way to spend some time with his family, and I'm leaving tomorrow. I was here on this pulpit 2 years ago. I shared about the ministry in India. The Lord has called me to this ministry in 1965. I was an engineer at that time. I wanted to earn a lot of money in my life and enjoy. But Lord has different plans. When he called me, I resigned job in 1965. And Lord has been faithful all these years, leading me and using me for his glory. And in 2001, I have a vision and mission to reach the unreached for Christ. So with that, I started the organization called Commission and Compassion Ministries. Commission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and plant the churches, and compassion to reach the needy and the suffering. And the Lord has been faithful, and the ministry is going on well. When I was here last time, I shared about the ministry, the need to construct churches. And when I shared that ministry, Brother Jim, after the service, he came to me, "Pastor, I want to help you to construct a church." He kept that promise. He sent that money through Wings, and I built one church, and it was dedicated this year. And 50 people gather there every Sunday to worship. This is a tribal place, tribals, and that's the only church in that area. It's a growing church. Oh, they are praising the Lord like anything. The Bible says, the psalmist said, "Let us go to the temple of the Lord." I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the temple of the Lord." But what about the place where there is no place of worship? This is my burden. So my vision is to build one church at least once a year in one place. So the Lord is using me, and I'm going back to India on 28th of this month. And I have a small brochure which I have given to Brother Jim and the pastor, and they will share these ministries with you. One thing I want to tell you, the Lord is God of faithfulness. He makes promises and keeps those promises. I am what I am because of his grace. So I see my son and his family. The Lord has blessed them. I am so happy that he is being used here. The other son I have in India is also a musician. He helps in praise and worship, and also teaches music to the young people so that they can go and help in their own churches. I'm so glad to be here once again. God willing, I may come back. Yes. Thank you, Pastor, for this church, the mission and the vision to reach the unreached. I praise God for the missionary to Africa. I'm anxious to hear from him. Yes, the Lord is Lord of all the people in this world. Every person to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. We have Brother Charles Wilner with us today, and he's going to share what God's doing in that ministry. And this is Missionary Sunday.
Praise God.
God.
Wonderful.
God send them in. That's right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we'll just go ahead and... Charles, you just come right ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Just feel free to do whatever the Lord has you do. God
Thank
bless you.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back here again and share the word of the Lord with you and to see the church growing. Praise God. And I was so much blessed by the worship this morning. Sister, God bless you. Praise the Lord for leading us in worship to the Lord. Amen. I bought a few copies of this book that my wife wrote, When Faith is Enough, and If I can just read the byline, as God leads Charles and Fern Wilner and their growing family in the unknown dangers and joys of ministry in Africa, Fern chronicles their experiences of faith and the hidden principles that she learns about God's faithfulness. In this thrilling book, she describes how they survived the Civil War attacks by thieves and sinking ships. Actually, she was on the boat when it sank. Over and over again, the family must rely on God and God alone. When money runs out, when children are feverish with malaria, when their African neighbors bring them seemingly insurmountable problems, Fern and her family learn to trust God at a new level and depend upon Him to accomplish more than they could imagine possible. So I really want to recommend this book to you. I tell people I give you a money back guarantee. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So praise God. Amen. I have pictures here from our trip to Africa last year. This summer I did not go to Africa, but this is from last year. And this is along the coast of Lake Tanganyika. I just stuck the camera out the window as we were going along and took these pictures, and this is really a beautiful picture. You can see what Lake Tanganyika is as big as Lake Ontario. It's 35 miles across and about 100 and some miles long. So it's just a beautiful part of the country. Next one. Okay, last year was my first time to go to Africa, and I need to explain to you, because there has been one time that I went to Africa when the Lord did not lead me to go, and it was a horrible trip. That was 1977. And so I've always prayed and asked the Lord for His will about when to go and what, so on. And about a year ago now, actually a year and a half ago now, the Lord spoke to me that I was to go to Ethiopia. And I had never been to Ethiopia before. There was one man in our Bible school in Ontario, Canada. He was in the government, in Haile Selassie's government. He worked in the Department of Labor at that time. And then there was a schoolmate of my son, and he went on to become an evangelist, and he has held several crusades in Ethiopia. So those were my two contacts. And so the first part of my trip in Ethiopia was to go up to Lalibela. And Lalibela was a king priest of Ethiopia. It's really interesting because you remember Solomon King, Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, so on. Did you know that the Jewish religion was the main religion in Ethiopia up until the year 900? That's like only 1,000 years ago, that Judaism was the main religion in Ethiopia. And you've heard about black Jewish people going back to Israel. Well, they're coming from this area. They still live. There's a whole community there that lives under the law, under the Mosaic law in Ethiopia. And this King Lalibela moved the capital from up closer to Egypt to the mountains where there was less malaria. And in Lalibela then, Lalibela is his name, but that's also the name of the town. In Lalibela, he built 12 cathedrals. And what's unusual about these cathedrals is they are all one piece of stone. Those pillars are not blocks, one on top of the other. They dug down in the ground, down into bedrock, this temple here, or this cathedral, has something like 48 pillars, and the roof, the walls, the pillars are all one piece of stone. They just chiseled this rock out. So this picture is a smaller cathedral, but yet it looks small, but it's still pretty big when you get inside of it, and so that's just to compare it. It's down in the ground. And that's where King Lalibela made these cathedrals. Next one. Okay, that's Haile Selassie on his horse. This brother Abraham that went to the Bible school in Canada, his son was visiting this church. And these people, this is a real story. The whole picture is a story in itself. But these people are dressed in the uniforms, or the way that they would have been dressed in church back in the year 600. Like when the Orthodox Church, Coptic Church, was there in Ethiopia, they all carry these little canes. This guy, you can't see it, but they're all jumping and dancing with this drum and so on. Now, here's the amazing thing. When I went to Africa the first time in 1972, there was the Church of God. There was the United Pentecostal Church missionary who was forced to leave Ethiopia because the communists took over. I'm sure you can remember when there was famine in Ethiopia and all the rock stars went over there and they sang. That famine was man-caused. It was caused by the communist government because they took people off of their farms and put them in villages so that they could give them schools and a health clinic. But by taking the people off the farms, because the land is so bad, so poor, you know, and it's kind of an arid country, not much rain, they caused their own famine, the communist government. So they sent all the missionaries out of the country. But from 1972 until about 1998, under communism, God blessed and poured out his spirit in Ethiopia. And this church has 4,000 members in it, in this one church. They have like 30 to, I don't know, 50 churches in Addis Ababa in the capital. And altogether, they have something like 6 million followers of this one church. And that's not the only charismatic church. We pass another one. And so while there were no missionaries in the country, while they were living under communism, God has been building his church in Ethiopia. So that is an amazing testimony. Next one. I went to teach in a small Bible school, and I'm just getting ready to send this Bible school some literature. I'm in the process of, there is a 3-year curriculum which we use in the Bible school that we support in the Congo, and I want to send the same curriculum to this small Bible school. It's actually a charismatic Baptist Bible school. Okay, it says Evangelism Bible Institute, but they're charismatic Baptists. Praise the Lord. Now, this picture is taken at the University Fellowship, and this is like the customary violin. They also have these kind of violins in Kenya. They're only like 2 or 3 strings, but this one's a little bit different than what they have in Kenya. The reason I couldn't take a picture of the University Fellowship because it was so dark in there. There was 500 students. In Addis Ababa, there are 3 universities, and I spoke in the Christian Fellowship of this one university, 500 students. It was the end of their semester, and the Lord blessed. So I'm anxious to go back there again. Actually, the brother that arranged these meetings for me and I are still in contact, and we're talking about going back next year. Next one. Praise God. Okay, from there we went to the Congo. And you know, when I planned these meetings, I had no way of knowing, but arriving in Uvira, it was Pentecost Sunday. And in the Congo, they literally celebrate Passover, Pentecost, and Christmas with conventions. And so on Sunday morning, there were 500 people gathered here in the open air. The building wasn't big enough, so we're outside. They have these coverings to kind of give them a little bit of shade. And I show you this picture because it's the young people playing all their instruments. Next one. I have to hurry up because I don't have a lot of time here. This is Brother Firdaus, and he is was my guide in the Congo, but he passed away 2 months ago in his sleep. So he's already on the other side. And these are the brethren that gathered together for the seminar, and these are the notes that we had prepared and passed out to them. Next one. Okay, from Uvira, then we went down to Kalemie. Kalemie is where we used to live. And this is the Garinganza Brethren in Christ Church. And see, God's working here too. Because if you know Brethren in Christ, women have to keep silent in the church and they don't have any pianos. I mean, if they're strict brethren, they do have plural ministry, which is good. Praise God. But the pastor told me, you know, our missionaries didn't tell us about the Holy Spirit, but now we're learning to let the women sing in church, and we're learning to dance and praise the Lord. And so it's really unusual. They even had a drum in there. That's bad to have a drum in the Brethren in Christ Church. Okay. This is another church. Let me back up one, please. This is another church where the Lord is blessing Pastor Masongu. These are charismatic. Actually, a lot of these people were Brethren in Christ, and even while we were there, they were becoming filled with the Spirit. So this is a different church. Next one. Okay, this is Brother and Sister Hegemeyer and their daughter Stephanie. We left in December 84. They came in September 85 to continue the work. They bought 10 acres of land. They were given 10 acres of land. They now, Stephanie has an elementary and secondary school with 1,000 day school students. This is the graduation from the Bible school. Brother Hegemeyer wrote recently that since 1985, they have graduated 500 people from their Bible school into ministry. So last year, they had these six people. I think this year they had 8 students that were graduating. That's Brother Hegemeyer in the pulpit. Next one. Okay, now this is special because the pastor of this church, this Grace of God Church, she is a woman. Now that's, again, you don't have that in Africa. You don't have women pastors. But not only is she a pastor, but she is the bishop. So what happened was her husband drowned. They were crossing Lake Tanganyika. They were within sight of port. They tried to go across. The boat tried to go across the waves. Instead of going with the waves, they had to go across. They weren't quite coming into port right. And the boat capsized. And her husband gave her a 5-gallon empty petrol jug to hold on to. And that's how, because very few people know how to swim, that's how she was saved. And so then she took her husband's place as pastor of this church. And then just recently they elected her as the bishop of all of their charismatic churches. Praise God. This is the old mission house. When we were living there, this was a missionary. The Gardeners were living in this house. And some people who support us in ministry, Sister Cranford, gave money to convert this house into a health clinic and maternity. And since 1996 until 2004, there's been civil war in the Congo. One of the benefits of civil war now is that people are coming over there and trying to help them redevelop the country, so they've added another wing to their maternity. Next one. Okay, now I took this picture on purpose. I just wonder, can you see a boat under all these people? Right there. Okay, that's a part of the boat covered up with a tarpaulin. All those people rode on that boat. The first day we went to port at 7 o'clock, and it was too windy. The marine department would not let us leave. The next day we went again at 7 o'clock and we finally left at 5. And some people canceled their ticket because they were afraid of the storm. They were afraid of the wind. But actually it was a blessing that that boat was overloaded because it was so far down in the water it did not even pitch. But because it was so crowded in the middle of the night when I needed to go to the bathroom, I couldn't get to the toilet. And so somebody passed me a plastic jug, and after I'd finished using it, they threw it overboard. I hope you understand what I said just then. Okay. Praise the Lord. This is another church that in Kalamee, just to tell you another story about that, 2 weeks after I was there, the pastor of that church was arrested because he was, I don't know whether he knew it or didn't know it, but he was hosting rebels from Tanzania that had come over to Congo, but the Lord blessed him and he was released from jail in March, and he's now back in his church. That can be very, very dangerous if you are seen to be against the government. Next one. Okay, from there we went up to Baraka, and these are the elders from the Bible school that we support, Kilembe Lembe Bible Institute in Fiji. I got back up to Uvira on the Friday, and on the Wednesday, we heard there was shooting in Fiji, so I asked the brothers to come down. I didn't want to go up to Fiji if there was any kind of unrest up there, so they came down to Baraka, and we had our business meeting, and I paid them. We pay their salaries. It comes to about $250 a month for three teachers and a guard in that Bible school. This is on Sunday morning in the Baraka Church, filled to overflowing. Next one. From there, we had a seminar at Lucinda, and these are about 50 elders that came together for 3 days, and the Lord really blessed. The last day, there was a real moving of the Holy Spirit as we sought God for his baptism and so on. The next one. From there, we went up to Bukavu. From Baraka to Uvira is 6 hours drive to go 100 miles, 120 miles. And then from Uvira to Bukavu is again 120 miles. Takes you about 4 hours, even on a paved road, because you're going up the escarpment. And again, these pictures all have a story. This is some Christian businessmen. Because of the civil war that's been going on, a lot of Christian businessmen have made a lot of money because supplying food for refugees and for the soldiers that have come in, United Nations have sent in. And there's a friend of mine, Gama Mulindwa, he has arranged to have Bible studies on Wednesday and Saturday night, and afterwards we have a meal together. And so that's that story. This is the Scandinavian missionaries that are in Bukavu. This is Sister Ingeborg. She's been there ever since. She's been like 24 years old, never married. Now she's in her 80s, and they say she's married to the church. In fact, she is. Praise the Lord. This brother here and his wife, they are the head of the Christian University. The Scandinavian countries use their missionaries to give development money because their missionaries are already there, not like Canada, United States, at the separation of church and state. So over there, they have built a Christian university. They built a Christian hospital. The Scandinavian government gives the money to or passes the money through their missionaries. These ladies here are from Mexico. There's one single mother and a sister, I think. They came from Mexico as missionaries. And this lady's from Sweden, Christine. She is one of the ones that looks after the schools for the Swedish Pentecostal Church. Ingeborg's with the Norwegian Pentecostal Church. Now, this guy here was an intern from a Bible school in Canada. And I'm still writing to him. Right now, he's talking about getting married. He still wants to go as a missionary to the Congo, but he's getting married, and just pray that the Lord works things out for them to be able to go back to the Congo. Next one. Okay, this is the first time I ministered in this church, which is Carmel Fellowship. It's, I think, Swedish Pentecostal. Let me just move on because I don't want taking too much time. Next one. Then I went to this church for the first time, Resurrection Pentecost Church. Again, that's an independent church. This is the Asali Assemblies of God Church. Years ago, the people gave me money to send to the Belgian people who used to own this garage. It was like a three-car mechanical garage, and they've made it into a church. Next one. This is the first time to go to this church. This is Bethany Church, this one here. And let me explain. So I told you about businessmen making money. This guy is a multimillionaire. Can you imagine in Africa? He has ceramic tile in his floor that is etched in gold. I mean, that's what he has in his house. He has a pool in the backyard, a heated pool in the backyard, and all this stuff. And in Africa, five-story department store downtown, buying goods from China, bringing them over and selling them there. So he's taken his profits and he's built this church, an elementary school and a secondary school. And so this is the reason why there's so few people here. It's a midweek service and it's just young people that came out while I was there. But that's a prosperous businessman who's using all of his I won't say all, but using his prophet in order to extend the work of the Lord. Amen. This is the Bible school that is built by Malanda Bukavu Bible Institute. I'm trying to see if I can see Malanda. But Malanda and I have been working together since about 1981. And so we just praise God for this Bible school that's there in Bukavu. Next one. Okay, now this is a fantastic story because this is Sister Ingeborg's main church. It's called the Philadelphia Norwegian Pentecostal Church. And so finally she arranged for me to be able to speak in this church. They have their own Christian radio station. And the first service, they had two services on Sunday morning packed out. I couldn't get everybody in one picture. The first service went on the air live. And the second service they recorded by video so that they could present it again later on. And they have, when that church sings, I mean, they have a choir. They make DVDs of their choir. It's really great, great music. And when that church sings, it's like the whole church is singing four part harmony. Praise God. Next one. Okay. Now, after that church service, Dr. Birange took me to the Norwegian hospital that they are building or that they are developing in downtown Bukavu. The church has bought three commercial buildings. This is one, and then there's two on either side of that. And they're developing this into a hospital. This is Barangi, one of his doctors that's there in the operating room. A church in Australia gave them the money for them to add on a maternity clinic on this hospital. And since I visited them, we have sent $1,000 for solar-powered lighting because there's often problems with lighting, with the lights going off, brownouts in Bukavu. And we've also sent money for medicines. Next one. Now, this is all of this was so great. Praise the Lord. Can you just go to the next one first and then come back? This is the outside of Zioni Pentecostal Church. That's a Swedish Pentecostal church. And just really quickly, this is probably about 1986. The Lord spoke to the pastor to take. He had saved up something like $6,000 for he was going to use for his pension. The Lord spoke to him to take that money and put seed as seed money to double the size of their church. And over the years, that's actually what happened. The church has doubled. And can we go back now to the previous one? Oh, you can't see it. I cut it up. There's a balcony up here. There's another balcony on the right-hand side. And you can see that it's all finished inside. And now, you know, steel costs as much money in Africa as it costs here, you know. Bricks, cement costs as much in Africa as it costs here. And when you realize that the people that, if they have a job, they make a dollar a day or at the most like $2 a day. For them to build a church like this, like that's a $1 million building that they have built there. And the missionaries helped them with the roof, that's true. But the walls, the floors, the drapery, all that has been, it was contributed locally. Praise God. And actually, this church doubled in size and people as well, because during the Civil War, there were people that wanted to make sure that they were going to heaven, so they kept water in the baptismal tank, and every Sunday they would baptize 20 or 30 people that came to the Lord right there. I mean, as soon as they came to the Lord, they were baptized. So the church actually doubled during the Civil War. Well, anyway, the story here is that one of those business people gave me $500. And so I invested it in a pastor's seminar. And so here are 70 elders from several different churches came together for 3 days, I believe it was. And the ladies of the church cooked us a 5-course meal. I mean, it was good, really good food. And so that got so much attention that the state radio sent a reporter down to interview me for that seminar. Next one. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. And this is the last church that I spoke in is Assemblies of God. That's a church that they're still working, worshiping in rented facilities. Next one. Okay, here we go to Kenya. This is Brother Mugo and his wife. Her name was Josephine before she married Joseph. So, ladies, you just got to look for somebody else that's got your name. Anyway, this is the house and the vehicle that Open Word Ministries has blessed Joseph with. And actually, this month, it's a long, long story. But anyway, we've been working together. In 1974, I was walking to town one day, and the Lord said, Joseph is coming to take over your work, because we were going home. And another missionary said, who's going to take over your work? I said, the Africans. He said, it'll never last. Well, hallelujah. Joseph Mugo's still in the ministry, and that missionary is not in the ministry. So it's still continuing on, praise God. But Brother Mugo's gone through a lot of tough times, and just a month and a half ago, he lost his third adult child. She came up to visit them. Would you believe it's cold there? She got pneumonia and died from pneumonia in Africa. Okay. Anyway, I started to say just last week, I promised Brother Mogo $2,000 so that they can build a new church there in Kianyaga. So if the Lord's speaking to anybody to help. Anyway, praise God. We want to build a church for 100 people right there in Kianyaga. Next one. Okay, now, I didn't tell you while we were going through all those meetings in the Congo, when we finally got to Bukavu, I got an ulcer on my foot. And so for the whole 5 weeks that I was in Kenya, I was only able to minister twice. And those two times was in this church, Karithi. And then I didn't even get to, this is Brother Mugo's home church, and this is where you want to build the building now for 100, they'll seat 100 people. But Mugo and I traveled together. I would greet the pastors, and then I spent the time in the hotel for 2 weeks resting, and then 2 weeks rested in his home. And even coming home was a blessing of the Lord because, anyway, I don't have time, but let me just say that the Lord blessed me on the way home, and for half the journey I got to be in first class. Praise God, because they took compassion on me. This here is a blessed picture because this is Brother Mugo. Brother Mugo married Kirubi and his wife. So here's the father and the son. And now Kirubi has a beautiful church in Nairobi. And this is Kamau, who is a brother with a real tender spirit before the Lord. This is a story too, but I have to go on. And the last one. Okay, that's me standing by the equator. Would you think that there's pine trees on the equator? Well, there is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, the Lord has been dealing with me about preaching concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And for those of you on our mailing list, that's the next pamphlet that's coming out. If you want to pick up a pamphlet, I left several there in the foyer. So the address is on the back if you want to write. Praise God. Brother, yes?
Speak your address into the CD because we put it on the internet.
Okay. So the address for Ministry in America is P.O. Box 5001, Springfield, Missouri. 65801. Praise God. Open Word Ministries, of course. Let's go to John chapter 16 and verse 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Hallelujah. And brother's going to have to wink at me or something because I never asked when I was supposed to finish here. Praise the Lord. Raise your hand or something. John 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, I want you to get the picture here, because the disciples were facing the Lord leaving them, the Lord who had provided for them, the Lord who had, you know, multiplied the loaves and the fishes, the Lord who had walked upon the water, the Lord who had settled their arguments and their disagreements, he was leaving them. And so they were concerned. But what does Jesus say? It's expedient for you. Hallelujah. Now, I don't think they really wanted to hear that. It's necessary for you that I go away. You know, and all of you that are parents here, I think you can understand what Jesus was saying. It's necessary for your children when they grow up to leave home and live by themselves. You know, in America these days, we have more and more young people that are staying at home. Some people say to like 30. You know, when I got married the second time, it was kind of great because three of my children were living with me at home. Now they had to find their own place to live. Praise God. So it's expedient for us now that Jesus is not here with us today. Why? Because that's the only way we're going to grow up. The only way that we're going to grow up in our relationship with the Lord is for us to learn the lessons of faith and the lessons of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Praise God. So what Jesus said to his disciples applies for us today. I know I don't have enough. This seminar lasts for a whole week. But anyway, I know I don't have enough time. But let me go over to Romans chapter 8, please. One of the real lessons that we need to learn as Christians is that the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome the works of the flesh. And I'm still teaching mathematics at university. I'm retiring again at the end of this semester in December. But one of the things as I go and to the men's Bible study and the chapel on Sunday nights and so on, is that you hear young people struggling with the lusts of the flesh. And they don't have teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Amen? So we need to learn to overcome the lusts of the flesh. I think actually, you know, when you're living by yourself and you're used to, like when my wife passed away, you're used to having a wife, so on. Then you're faced with these, or you can be faced with these lusts again. You know, I was amazed when my wife passed away. I would stay up and watch television until late in the night. You don't want to watch past 11 or 12 o'clock at night because some bad stuff comes on TV. But we got bad stuff coming on the internet. We got bad stuff in advertising. We got bad stuff on a television every day. In fact, that's what the devil uses to tempt people and to draw them aside from him. But the word of the Lord tells us that we can overcome the lust of the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Even as a young person, I learned this, that as I would pray that God would deliver me from these kinds of lusts, the lusts of the flesh. Now, that one church, that Carmel church that I skipped through, I taught just this one part there. Would you go over to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. And there's a topic here, or a lesson here, that we need to realize. Let me just read this for you. Ephesians 4, and 23. "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Hallelujah. Now, listen, watch up here. "That you put off the old man." Hallelujah. "And that you put on the new man." Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I took a half an hour to talk about putting off and putting on.
Glory to God. And the pastor said afterwards, he said, we'll never forget that message. Amen. But who is putting off the old man? I'm asking you a question. It's us. I took off my jacket. I put on my jacket. So we are putting off the old man, and we are putting on the new man. Like, this doesn't just happen, you know, to fall on us. Hallelujah. But we, by the Holy Spirit, can put to death the works of the flesh, and we can put on that new man which is created in Christ Jesus. Amen? If any of you have read the book Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee, he talks in there about when is a thief a thief? When is a thief not a thief? Well, he's not a thief when he doesn't steal. Hallelujah. He's not a thief when he doesn't steal. Maybe that's because he can't find anything to steal at the moment. But he's not a thief when he gets a job and works and gives money to somebody else. That's when he's not a thief. Hallelujah. Hey, I've left you somehow. I have missed out. You're looking at me funny. Praise God. Amen. But you remember the scripture, don't you? Amen. Let's go to Colossians and we'll see it. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. And I want to read certain verses between 5 and 14. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Go down to verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on the love which is the bond of perfection. Hallelujah. So there is a whole change of our character, of our who we are, and that's made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And without the power of the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to do these things. Praise God. So it's God, it's the Holy Spirit in us that gives us the power to do these things. Amen. All right. Now, I want to go back to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. And if you look at Romans chapter 7, you'll see how Paul is struggling with his carnal nature. And let me just read some verses here in Romans chapter 7. Let me start at verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I that do it, I will not do. I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I do not find. For the good that I would do, I do not do. But the evil that I do not want to do, that's what I practice. Now, if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I that's doing it, but sin that dwells in me. And then he goes down to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There weren't chapter divisions when Paul wrote this. Praise God. Verse 1 belongs with verse 7, or chapter 7. Now some people say that what Paul's talking about in chapter 7 was before he was saved. No. You are first of all saved. And then the word of God comes in you. Peter says it's like an incorruptible seed And that seed is growing in you, and it's producing the life of Christ in you. And as that seed grows, watered by the Word and by prayer and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you put off all of these things and put on the nature of Christ. We're talking in Sunday school about, my brother mentioned, if the world could only see someone who was completely filled with the presence of God, that they would then be able to repent and turn to the Lord. Amen? So we want to be those people who are showing forth Christ in the world. Amen? The next thing I want to talk to you about is being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If I'm going too fast, maybe you just write down the references and then you can go back and find them and study them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee? Does somebody have the old King James? Because the new King James has guarantee. The old one gives us the earnest of the Spirit. All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And Paul talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And I want to go to chapter Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 and 14. But before I read that. So we are, once when we're born again, we are in relationship with the Lord. But in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That not grieving the Spirit means that you don't break fellowship. Amen. Now, if you are a son, if your father has a son, you're the son. No matter whether you do good or bad, you're still the son. Amen. So when we're born again, we're still the children of God. We're still those sons. But If we grieve the Holy Spirit, then we break or we damage the relationship that we have. I don't mean we break off. That's what I'm trying to avoid saying. We're not breaking off, but we cause a blockage between us and God. Amen? Because it's the Holy Spirit that leads us. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us. Here it says that the Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal. And without reading, you could go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. It says, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. I think the last time I was here, I preached on prophetic prayer. But, you know, since the last time I was here and now, we can definitely see that Christians are coming under attack in this country. I think you've heard about the lady who lost her cake business in Texas and somebody else who lost another business because of the attack that's coming against Christians in these days. And we definitely need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Being sealed by the Spirit indicates that we belong to the Lord. We're the Lord's property. But it also, according to what I quoted in Revelation 7, it's also a protection to us that the enemy knows that we belong to the Lord and he cannot touch us. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you to come into this covering, this protection of the Holy Spirit, so much the more as we see the days approaching that we're coming into, because God is covering us. He's protecting us. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And these two verses show us that there are three parts to our salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. All right, and I'll read it together with you. If you have a pen, I'll show you where to mark it off. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, in my Bible, I put a diagonal line after salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I put another diagonal line. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So when you're talking about 30, 60, and 100 fold, there it is. Amen. It says in verse 13, the gospel of your salvation. The next one says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the end of verse 13. And verse 14 says that's the guarantee that of our inheritance. One of the places that we ministered to in Kenya, time we were out there, 1972, we went to preach in a Catholic school. In Kenya, most of the schools are boarding schools, and they do that on purpose to mix the young people up from different tribes. And so they'll put young people from different tribes together, and they live together for 9 months out of the year and so on. And so then those schools, they have chapel services on Sunday, and all the students have to go to church on Sunday, even if, it's not what you might say a spirit-filled church, but at least the students have to go to church. And so the Catholic school, the school that was led by the Catholic nuns and so on, they had to provide a Protestant service. And so they would ask me to come and speak. And one time I was speaking, and I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, and we want to look at verse 27. To whom God willing to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, in the Catholic Bible, in verse 27, here's what it says. It doesn't say hope. Let me read the way the Catholic Bible says. In them, God willing to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the guarantee that you are going to be glorified. Well, boy, I never saw that. That's not in King James, okay? Because the word hope has kind of an uncertainty to it in our way of thinking. Actually, hope in the Bible language does not have an uncertainty, because we have this hope anchored within the veil. Amen? So there's no uncertainty in God's hope. But in our vernacular, we think of hope as something that has this uncertainty. But listen, the Catholic Bible says it's the guarantee. Yes. So if the power of the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, hallelujah, say amen even if you don't believe it. If Christ is living in you, guaranteed you're going to be glorified. Say amen. Well, some of you still don't believe it. Praise God. But anyway, it's true. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ in you, the guarantee that you are going to be glorified. And so we need to have this sealing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now, I'm just because of lack of time, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And when I'm teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times you're teaching people that have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. And a couple of times in the ministry, taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, especially during the charismatic renewal. And people would say, if you would have told us that we weren't saved, we wouldn't have believed you. But when you told us there was more in God, well, then we could accept that. Amen? And so it kind of is better, folks, not to tell somebody, that they're not really saved. Better to tell them, move on in God. Amen? And my cousin went to Gordon Conwell Seminary, and he was a pastor for many years. I think he's retired now. And he was a pastor in the Mennonite Church. And in a lot of Baptist churches, and I have to say Baptist, but I hope I'm not meddling with some of you here. Praise God. But there are those who say in the Baptist church that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're demon-possessed or mentally deranged. And it was really funny, because when I would go up from Missouri, living in Missouri, go up to Canada to visit my mom, I stayed with my uncle. And he was really proud to get out this cassette tape of his son's first sermon. Guess what he preached? If you speak in tongues, you're demon-possessed or mentally deranged. And then my uncle realized what he was saying, and he quickly turned it off. You know? It's really interesting how some people, you know, there's a pastor on the Moody Network right now that's teaching about the gifts of the Spirit, but he doesn't believe in the baptism. He says we get it all at the cross. Well, praise God if we get it all at the cross. As long as you get it, praise God. Amen? But there are some people that actually believe, you know, that speaking in tongues is demonic. I was looking at my notes. Anyway, Jesus himself said that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness. Amen. I'll leave that. Praise God. We'll move on a little bit here. Praise God. But one of the most blessed things about the work of the Holy Spirit. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? Praise God. Well, I hope you're thinking about it anyway. One of the things that the Bible says is the work of the Holy Spirit is to raise us from the dead at the resurrection. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Now, I said all that, those previous comments, to say that if you think that you don't need the Holy Spirit, then how are you going to be raised from the dead? Hello, praise God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that's going to raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. So when that time comes for the resurrection, even though maybe you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to raise you from the dead, where we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Amen. So, and we were talking about that in Sunday school. Praise God. So that God is going to raise us from the dead by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. So please, hallelujah, let's give place to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to change us and make us to be like the Lord. If I could just speak a little bit of Swahili here, because I get excited when I talk about resurrection. But here's what we say in Swahili. Roho yule yule alifufua Yesu kutoka wafu ata ni yule yule atafufua wewe kutoka wafu. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that's going to raise you from the dead. Amen? And then go on down right here in Romans chapter 8, and we want to read verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with your spirit that we might be children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And look at verse 23. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So it speaks to us. And it tells us that it is the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to change us at the resurrection. We believe in being saved, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, that we are saved. Paul says, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah? Amen. And so that Spirit, hallelujah. Now, over in Africa, they know what this scripture means. We don't. In fact, the very fact that King James uses the word adoption says, or tells you that they don't understand, because we are not adopted from another family into the family of God. We are born again. But the word adoption is like what we celebrate with a debutante. When a young lady reaches a certain age, then she is presented that she's now a grown woman. Well, in Africa, that goes on all the time, at least in many of the tribes. And it's Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 4. I don't have time to go over there. But, well, I have to. Let's go to Galatians. No, because you need to understand this. Go to Galatians chapter 4. And let me explain to you with the Word of God what Paul is talking about. praise God. Hallelujah. Lost my place. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. Praise God. Galatians 4, not Ephesians. Galatians 4 and verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, if you go back up here, it says, verse 1, Now I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ from a slave, though he be master of all, but is under guardians and tutors, stewards, it says in my New King James, until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were under bondage to the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Okay? So in Paul's day, boys were trained with a tutor. Not boys and girls, actually. Were trained by a tutor until the time that the son was recognized to be mature. And at that time, then the father would give his ring to the son. The son could do business in the name of his father. He would give him his inheritance. Like you see with the prodigal son, give me my inheritance. He went out and spent it all. And he was a leader in the house, just like the other brother who didn't go out and waste his money and stayed home. He was a faithful son in the house. And so that's what we see when we are baptized in the Spirit, because you are in the house, but you're growing up. You're becoming mature until the time that the Holy Spirit recognizes that you are mature. And at that time, then the actual Greek here says in Romans 8, until the weothesis, until the time comes that you are placed as a son. And in Swahili, it says, roho kufanya mwana, the Spirit which makes you to become a son. Not that we are adopted from one family to another, but the Spirit makes us to become a son. The Greek actually says to be placed as a son, that you're recognized as a mature Christian in Christ. Amen? So there is so much that I could share with you about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But I just want to say this. I want to leave you with this challenge. I think it's time for us as Pentecostals to again be known as the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Like, we need to take time to seek the Lord and be filled with His Spirit. The brother that's here from India, in 2006, I went over to India and ministered in Bangalore. On the way, I stopped off in Hong Kong and visited with an American missionary there in Hong Kong that's been a part of the Chinese, the revival that's going on in China. And he told us, he said, the reason why we have revival in China is because of the Holy Spirit. We are seeking God. And to confirm that, one day when I was in Kenya, in the front of the missionary guest house, there was a missionary there that was going to China. He was going to go over there to straighten them out from all this business about speaking in tongues. I thought, well, your brother, you're missing it altogether. So the revival in China, 100,000 people a day being saved. Praise God. There's two provinces in China where a majority of the people are Christians. And it's been because of the emphasis on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, we need to seek God. We need to have that anointing. Brother talked about this morning that we would be able to go out in the world and pray for people and see them healed and set free. Amen? So I just want to challenge you this morning that we get back into the Word and we seek the Lord. You know, we're so busy out there in the world. Maybe we need to have a time after a service where we seek the Lord for half an hour. But seek God for a fresh anointing in your lives. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Your word is alive unto us, Lord God. We pray, God, that you would quicken your word to our heart. Father, your word is so rich, Lord God, and it's able to guide us into all salvation, the fullness of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the guarantee of being glorified. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this word coming alive in our hearts. Lord God, that we would not be children tossed to and fro, but that we might be established in you and fixed, Lord God, that our eyes would be on the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, Lord God. It's so rich. Thank you, Lord God, for moving in our hearts again. In fact, Lord God, stir up the gifts, Lord God, that we have received in times past, Lord God. Thank you, God, for moving in our hearts, Lord God, and pouring out your spirit and giving us your anointing. We just bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.